One of Northern Ireland's largest care home groups, Four Seasons Healthcare, has gone into administration. Two of the holding companies behind the firm appointed administrators yesterday after struggling to repay their debts. Four Seasons have said the move would not affect care arrangements or lead to the closure of care homes. But the union Unite is calling for the Department of Health to nationalise Four Seasons for benefit of staff and clients. Kevin McAdam is from the Unite Union. Good morning to you, Kevin.
Mayday greetings, Stephen.
Good morning.
International Workers' Day.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's going on here? I'm trying to get my head around what this all means when Four Seasons are saying it's not going to affect care arrangements, and yet they're announcing that two of their holding companies are going into administration.
Well, I think it has to be worrying, and anybody that isn't concerned about this is missing the story. If an organisation as large as Four Seasons across the UK can go into administration, a company that looks after thousands of our elderly and vulnerable people, that has to be a concern for everybody.
And what impact have you had? Have you got any understanding as to what impact this could or couldn't have on elderly residents?
Well, I haven't had anything at this stage. People are saying things will continue, and obviously it's in the hands of the administrators. But the question I put is, does the Department of Health really need to gamble with people's livelihoods and their future in elderly life that leaves them now vulnerable, that they don't know whether they're going to be in a Four Seasons care home next week or whether they're going to be owned by somebody else? And will the same standards be maintained? I think the ultimate question here is, why do the Health Department of Health outsource our health care? This is part of health and social care, and it's been given to the private sector. And look what's happening. We're seeing assets stripping out of the companies, and the companies now folding.
And we've seen some very good care homes in Northern Ireland, but we've also seen some private care homes in Northern Ireland, which, you know, we're talking here historically about Runwood care homes, for example, who haven't exactly looked after people very well in the past. And we've seen that happening as well. Now,
Stephen, you raise a very important question. So when a private company is geared around making money out of the elderly and they're not making enough money, they take shortcuts, and they take shortcuts with people's care. That's the big concern.
So, well, obviously, there's no suggestion that Four Seasons are taking shortcuts. But the Department of Health are saying in their statement that they're going to continue to closely monitor the situation. And they say, we note the announcement from the company today, including the assurance that care home provision at its homes are continuing as normal. Well, they're taking that from the company. What's their view? What's the Department of Health's view? Will it continue as normal?
So they're monitoring it, but they have a responsibility to each and every person that they fund in those homes to ensure that they get this. Not to monitor it and hope that things come out all right. What happens if things don't come out all right? Where do we go? All of this care will fall to the trusts. And I don't believe we should be in this position. We have put our elderly people in a vulnerable situation by outsourcing elderly care and residential care.
How many care homes under the Four Seasons brand are there in Northern Ireland?
I believe there's 55, with somewhere in the region of 1,700 residents. So it's a considerable community in its own right.
And what's your understanding as to what is going to happen with those residents?
Well, my understanding is what the administrator will try and do is seek another buyer for the setup.
What if they don't get another buyer?
Well, if they don't get another buyer, that's where it will fall to the Department of Health. And ultimately, the trusts will be told, right, this is your responsibility. You are the people that are funding these clients and residents in there, and you have to take charge of this. Now, maybe that is ultimately the way it should be, because we've seen homes outsourced, we've seen homes closed by want of, and you've dealt with it on your show, where people have been reduced to one or two people left in the unit because they won't let people in. They only refer them to private sector. So they have closed the homes that they had under the trust care, and maybe they need to start opening them again.
I see the GMB union is saying government needs to step in urgently to reassure Four Seasons staff and residents.
Absolutely. The GMB couldn't be more correct. That's what needs to happen. And it needs to happen here in Northern Ireland as well, not just across GB.
Four Seasons. I'm just reading some BBC copy here. It says Four Seasons said it had appointed professional services firm to handle the administration, while the holding companies are administration. The operating companies that run Four Seasons homes are not. The group has said it has secured funding to ensure continuity of care while it seeks a new owner. So the question is not about what's going to happen in the next few days. Our consumer affairs correspondent Coletta Smith is saying, look, if you live in a Four Seasons care home, don't panic. It's the job of the administrator to keep things running, try to find a new buyer. But she then says, if your care home is eventually earmarked for closure, your council is responsible for making sure everyone is cared for without any interruptions. You won't be left out in the street. But where on earth... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, that would be in England. Over here, it would be the Department of Health would have the responsibility rather than the councils.
And
I don't want to be in any way causing panic, but I do think we have to be mindful that vulnerable people here are left in... There is a doubt, and they shouldn't even have to face that doubt.
So what does the Department of Health, in your view, now need to do?
I think they now need to engage with the administrators. First of all, to shore up the situation in the short term to make sure that nobody comes to any harm, and then plan a strategy of taking these homes, not just Four Seasons, but healthcare homes, residential and dementia care homes, back into the ownership of the trusts. And let them be managed directly as part of our health and social care. That's what the Department of Health delivers, the health and social care of our community. These people pay for this, right? We've all paid through our taxes through all our lives, and they should expect that the health service will support them right through to old age.
Now, how much would that cost?
It'll cost what it takes.
Well, that's a little bit... You need to live in the real world too.
Sure.
And these people in government, we don't have a government, but the people at the top of the Department of Health in Northern Ireland, they just can't, wave their magic wand and say, well, whatever it takes, we'll pay.
No, but when government gets its act together and is there, they have to consider there is an increasing elderly population that is going to have increasing demands on our services. And do our taxes match up to what their needs are? So we need to have a grown-up debate about whether or not we, as a society, pay enough into the health service for what its needs are. And if its needs have changed and the requirement is more, I don't know anybody that said to them, would you pay a dedicated 1% of your pay to guarantee those adequate health service across Northern Ireland? I would challenge anyone to come and say to me, no, I'm not going to pay that.
I can share this with you all this morning. When I've been doing investigations in the past into care homes, and I've been interacting with senior officials within the health service sector, let's put it like that, okay? One of the things they've said to me is, look, if they ever did go in and close down a home, one of the consequences of that is, where do all of those elderly people go, right? Number one. Secondly, they have said to me in the past that to move elderly people out of a home into a new home, that has been shown statistically to increase the mortality rate, all right? So if you've got an elderly person and they feel safe and secure in a particular home, the statistics would show that if you move them, it affects the mortality rate. And therefore, that is why they're very, very mindful of any change to an elderly person, unless, obviously, it is necessary. So in this situation, there is no imminent danger of Four Seasons closing down within days. Nobody should panic. But there does need to be, some thought, some consideration, and indeed a conversation with the public. What if? What if these homes in Northern Ireland did close down? What is the contingency planning from the Department of Health?
I think you make a very good point. That's something that I think ultimately the Department of Health must have a strategy for the worst case in those circumstances, mindful of again, of the individual residents. But I think you know, if it came to that, we also have to look at whether the strategy should be to for the Department of Health to be engaging with the administrators about them taking over the homes and them becoming responsible for it. So no one would have to move, but they'd then become part of the health service and they would be funded and there wouldn't be that risk of closure.
Here's Wayne in Warren Point, 0330 80 55 55. Morning, Wayne.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, here's a question. How much did the people at the top get, these directors? And basically, when you think about this, an average elderly person, they charge about £700 and they don't even get a good level of care. Is the two, should the
well, you don't know that. There are fantastic levels of care in some care homes and it's not as good in others. So you're making a sweeping statement. But let's talk about today's story. I don't think we should just, you know, this isn't just a little story that should be at the bottom of a running order. In my view, this is one of the biggest providers of healthcare. It's certainly a big player, Four Seasons. We would all be familiar with that brand if you've ever looked at elderly healthcare.
Yeah, now, how did it go broke? How did you go into administration if it's such a good home? How did it go broke?
I don't know the answer to that. And they haven't gone broke yet. They're in administration. They're finding it difficult.
When the next stage after the administration is basically liquidation and then they're bankrupt. So how did this situation occur? How could they not get enough money to keep this home open? Where did the money go to? Were they short on funds? This seems to be...
Well, the home is still open. We need to be careful not to scare people. So the home is still open, but they're struggling to pay their debts. They've gone into... There is an administrator appointed. What is the contingency planning for the what if? What will happen to the elderly people? You know, Unite are sending us this morning, they reckon there's 55 four-seasoned homes in Northern Ireland. You're now talking about hundreds and hundreds of elderly people. The Department of Health saying... The Department of Health saying in their statement that they have noted the assurance from the company today that care provision at its homes will continue. If I read it precisely, including assurance that care provision at its homes are continuing as normal, does the Department of Health think it will continue as normal? And what is the contingency planning? I think we need to get in touch with the Department of Health this morning and ask them about that and say, look, do they want to elaborate on their statement?
Yeah, but where did all the money go to? This is the million-dollar question. Where did all this money go to?
Well, if you talk to people, I know quite a lot about this. Because of the stories I've done in the past, I know quite a lot about this sector, right? If you talk to people who own care homes, or you indeed even talk to people who are slightly more arm's length, they will tell you that there's a question mark around whether there is actually enough money going into that sector.
So therefore, there's not enough money going into it. So therefore...
Well, they're certainly asking that question. They're saying that the pressure of complex needs, looking after people in the elderly sector, you know, they're arguing it could do with more money.
Well, yeah, but that's fine if they need more money and they can justify their spend.
Where's it coming from?
The house service or the bodies are supposed to put the money in to protect the elderly. That's the question I'm asking. How do they end up in this situation? Either they're short of funds, or there's some people being overpaid for what they're doing. It's just a simple question. And I just want to know, is this a pattern between a lot of homes? Because we have a lot of issues, as you said, you investigated, over homes in the last 12 or 18 months. Does it also come in that there's no government there to release the money for these homes?
Stephen, I think you need to ask yourself, when we talk about where the money's going, this company, Four Seasons, is owned by two holding companies, Eli Finance and Eli Investments. And you have to ask yourself...
Well, That's not particularly true.
I think that's actually true, Stephen.
Well, no, the holding, the Four Seasons, we need to be careful about company structures here, don't we? So it's the holding companies which are getting into administration. The operating companies that work Four Seasons homes are not.
But you ask yourself, why is a holding company owning a big investment that has many of our elderly people as at its product?
Okay.
To use the most discussed the word, but that's really what it boils down
to. Here's Paula Bradshaw, the Alliance MLA, with us now this morning. I believe GMB, the union's going to want on to speak to us as well. Morning to you, Paula.
Good morning.
Good morning. Should people be concerned?
Well, I'm sure that the families are very stressed this morning, yesterday on the news of this. I've just want to pick up a point from one of your last callers there. As you say, in the past, you have covered care homes extensively, and I have spoken on your show. And I've had calls from care home owners who've said to me, Paula, you have no idea the costs of actually running one of these homes now. We've got more complex needs of our residents. We need more staff. It's harder to attract and retain the sort of lower level staff. And he said, if I could get out of this business, I would. So I think the problem is that people don't understand the actual cost of running a home. And so I do think that the Department of Health need to be very much engaged going forward from here.
So what should families of elderly people, and indeed some of the elderly people, we shouldn't describe some of these elderly people, you know, as in they don't have capability themselves. Some of the elderly people in these homes who might be listening to the radio this morning, what do they need to know, Paula?
No, I totally agree with you, because not all of them have got maybe an underlying disease or condition. Some of them have just got frailty. And I think that as a society, we're not giving enough money and consideration to people getting older. So I do think that they need to maybe speak to their GP, speak to their social worker, and also contact the home that they're residing in, because they have a responsibility to properly communicate with the, as you say, the resident and the families. So I'm sure that they are scrambling away behind the scenes, trying to find ways that they can properly engage with the family. So I think people need to be open to that, and they would need to be proactive in terms of contacting themselves.
Officials say the Department of Health, Paula, will remain in contact with Four Seasons and will keep necessary contingency arrangements under ongoing review. What are they? What are those contingency arrangements?
Well, this is part of my wider frustration with the collapse of the Assembly at the minute, because we really have no opportunity to find out that information. If we had an Assembly Health Committee, we would have them in front of us telling us exactly what they're doing. But if you look back a couple of years ago, whenever there was the GP crisis, I think it was Craig Avonport down, and the Health and Social Care Board got in there, got the locums involved, and really nearly took over the ship in there until it stabilised itself. And I think that they have the mechanisms. They've certainly got the precedent there to go in there and actually intervene. I'm sure that there's some way in which they can go into these privately run homes because of their responsibility in terms of regulations.
So will you be contacting? Like, we're on the phone this morning to the Department of Health. Let's give them a bit of time to see if they want to elaborate on the statement they gave to the BBC yesterday. Yes. I believe it was yesterday, 30th of April it's dated. Will you be seeking further reassurance from them?
Well, I wrote to them yesterday. As you know, I'm always writing to the Department of Health. We're obviously in a state of
Alberta. That's me. That makes two of us.
I know. We're in a state of Alberta.
They're always writing to us.
I know. Some of my response take 4 months to get back. But we're in a state of Alberta at the minute because there's a local government election. So I would say it'll be the far side of it before I get a response.
Here's the GMB union on to talk about this now. Alan Perry. Morning to you, Alan.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So what's your understanding of what's going on here? Do you have concerns, or are you reassured by what Four Seasons themselves have said?
I think, Stephen, first of all, GMB, Unison and RCN are three recognised unions within the company, and nationally our officers are obviously in communication directly with the hierarchy of the company throughout yesterday and obviously prior to the announcement regarding that the financial people behind the company have went in the administration. So we're very much aware of this here. We're very much in discussions with them, and obviously we're looking to reassure our members on the ground that their jobs are currently safe at this moment in time.
And are they?
They are, Stephen. Certainly we have no indication that any homes are going to close or any jobs, excuse me, are under threat. And I think it's a case of trying to reassure everybody that while we have an issue, it's not something that may go bust overnight like Southern Cross did in 2011. And clearly we need answers from the company as to how going forward they're going to finance their business.
But if the holding companies are in administration, Spell out to us what that then means practically, Alan.
Well, it means that obviously the company is owned by a number of individuals, Guy Hans, Terra Firma, and basically they're financing the debt. And every so often, obviously, they look to refinance that and obviously try and pay off the debt. They're $500 million in debt, and every so often, they obviously then look to, as I say, to refinance that. And clearly what has happened, the people behind one of those companies have one in the administration, and that's where then there's a cash flow.
Yeah, but what I'm really asking you is, look, they're trying to find a buyer. That's what an administrator tries to do.
Yes,
if they don't find a buyer, what would be the impact on staff and residents in Northern Ireland?
I think that's the million-dollar question, Stephen. I mean, obviously they have homes throughout the UK. They have 17,000 residents, 3,000 staff here. And clearly, I suppose at this moment in time, it is the unknown. And certainly we need those answers. And, you know, we need those answers quickly because, as you already allude to, you know, the number of residents, families, our staff, our members, you know, there's a list of questions that still need answered.
Like what?
What is the long-term future of this company? I think that is the major concern. I think that's what everybody is asking. Are we going to wake up tomorrow morning to find potentially that the company has went bust completely? And certainly, from a union's point of view, we're there to protect our members, and we're in discussions nationally with the company to get those answers.
You see, I'm just intrigued about this Department of Health line. They will keep necessary contingency arrangements under ongoing review. I think that it could provide further reassurance to the public if we knew what those contingency arrangements are. Do you know what they are?
No, I don't, Stephen. And I think that, again, that's probably where the uncertainty is, and certainly that heightens the expectations of what may or may not happen in the future.
Alan, thank you. John in North Belfast. Morning, John.
Stephen, this is a sector that was privatised. They have private companies. This is what I don't understand. There's this company's £500 million in debt, we've just been told. So they've put it out now for another private buyer to come in and take it over. Now, when I look at it, the balance sheet, and find £500 million in debt, and they buy this company, the first thing you're going to do is to try and minimise their debt so it doesn't go up to £500 million. So who will, in the end, will suffer? The elderly people will suffer. Because any private company coming in now will want to make a profit. And the profit at the expense of the elderly is an absolute disgrace.
Well, look, this then brings us back to other stories and the reason why the Nolan Show has been very much focusing on this whole sector of elderly care in Northern Ireland. There are checks and balances and rules, for strict rules, very strict rules, as to how elderly people must be treated, must be cared for if they're in the care home sector. All right? Very, very strict rules. And so whatever a company does or doesn't want to do, they can't just have a free-for-all, John. There's whole systems in place and people in charge and regulators and, you know, the department themselves and the trusts. They're all supposed to play a part to making sure that our elderly people are looked after. We have seen in recent times how that hasn't happened, all right? But the rules are there and the regulations are there. Jim Wells has contacted us, the DPMLA. I suspect, Jim, because I know your wife is in care.
Yes, Stephen, I unfortunately have direct experience the last 4 years of this entire issue. First of all, my wife's in a fantastic home. We just really value the wonderful care she's getting. But that has given me an insight to an issue that hasn't been raised this morning, and that is staffing. Northern Ireland is 800 nurses short, and the care homes are finding it incredibly difficult to attract nursing staff, and indeed all staff. And indeed, on a Friday evening, many senior staff spend hours ringing around to try and get people to come in. Because staff aren't available, particularly at weekends and at night shifts, then locum or bank and agency staff have to be employed at considerable expense. And that is causing huge problems to care homes. Secondly, any attempt to sell care homes in Northern Ireland failed because no one is interested in buying them. So when somebody comes in, an outside investor comes in and looks at the books, they realise you simply cannot make a return on your investment. And the other issue is what's called the national minimum wage and the national living wage. And those have been going up. I welcome the fact they've been going up way ahead of inflation. Well, for care assistants and general staff, that means that, you know, a considerable increase occurs every year. And therefore, the books simply don't balance. And if this was profitable, as some of your callers alleged, then people would be buying these homes. But I think Paula Bradshaw is absolutely right. When you talk to the owners and managers of these institutions, it's a nightmare. And many of them just wish they'd never started. They wish they'd never got into it, but now they've invested, they have to go on. So that's another issue which is causing huge problems throughout Northern Ireland.
Given... you know, your personal experience, because your wife's in a care home, Jim, and that context, are you concerned by this announcement that Four Seasons, their holding companies, are in administration, and what impact that could have? Are you reassured by their statement?
I'm very concerned because, as you know, Stephen, this has happened on the mainland quite a lot. And no investor looking at this sector at the moment sees it as a realistic investment. They see rapidly increasing costs, a reduction in the number of staff available, and that's getting extremely worrying, not just for care homes, but also for our hospitals. Young graduate nurses coming out of university in June get 4 or 5 job offers within weeks and can choose whatever hospital they can go to, or they can go to Australia or Canada or London, where our nurses are extremely valued. And the difficulty is that they've been caught in a situation of rising costs and reduced staff. Again, there's some wonderful local nurses. I've met nurses from all over Northern Ireland in my wife's care home, and they come from considerable distance to basically to provide the essential cover. But any system that's based on using large numbers of bank and agency nurses will struggle, because obviously they cost more to employ than full-time staff.
You're a former health minister, Jim. Do you think, having seen the inside of how the system in Northern Ireland works, and it might have changed since you left that post, do you think the system could cope with what one of the unions was calling for, that for it to be nationalised? Do you think that the sector in Northern Ireland, that let's say this company did go into administration, well, it is an administration, isn't it? Let's say that the department needed to take over some of those homes if a buyer couldn't be found. Is there the capacity to do that, in your view?
When we looked at it when I was minister, the conclusion was that if we transferred all of nursing and residential care back to the state sector, it would bankrupt the health service in Northern Ireland. It would leave it hundreds of millions of pounds which couldn't be funded.
How come?
Because the private sector is more efficient in the sense that they don't have, for instance, to pay into the National Health Pension Scheme. There's not the same terms and conditions. Now, obviously, unions are not happy about that. But if we were to transfer the tens of thousands of vulnerable elderly people who are in care at the moment back to the state sector, the money is just not there to pay for it. And therefore, there is no prospect of that happening, unless, of course, you get a situation where the company folds and the trust simply have to take up the capacity and provide care. And I think we are in a very worrying situation for long-term care in Northern Ireland. I don't think the present model is sustainable, because it doesn't take into account the rapidly increasing costs that occur for the employers. And we haven't even mentioned the pensions, the compulsory pensions, which have now been introduced to all health service providers in Northern Ireland. And, you know, these are all legitimate demands on resources. But the problem is, in recent times, no one has sat down and said, how do we continue to pay for this? And, of course, our population is getting older. So there's many, many problems to be addressed. And the market is telling us that nobody wants to put their private money into a loss-making concern. And that's just the reality. And that's something that's occurred quite recently, because the nursing crisis was not apparent even 4 years ago. But we have a major, major problem with staffing. We have a lot of our top nurses out of the country working for lucrative contracts in the rest of the world. And we can't continue to hemorrhage staff at that rate.